Be reading from Luke, the 18th chapter, and over into the 19th chapter. These are stories that are centered around the town of Jericho and around Jesus going to Jerusalem. I don't know what language we were getting up there, but I have my Bible here. I'm not sure Anyway, I will be reading from the NIV, and I did bring my reading glasses along just in case. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked them, "What's happening?" They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus praising God. When all the people saw this, they also praised God. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He is gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too," he's referring to the blind man and now to Zacchaeus, "because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Blessing, Steve.
Today our object for the sermon, for the message of the day, is our blinders. Failing to see. Another object that would have been good, I don't know if anybody has any of these, but those horse blinders, so that they can't see peripherally would be another. So we're talking about things that don't allow us to see the full picture of Jesus and the way of God. And I wonder, does anybody here, is the microphone available in case somebody has something to share? Anybody have an experience where you resisted getting glasses or laser surgery, and then you did, and you were amazed at what you could see? even if you didn't resist it. Any good stories of like just amazing restoration of good vision?
On rank. Several years ago, when we were out in Utah, I set up a time to have surgery done on my eyes to remove the cataracts. And I didn't know I had cataracts until I was checked. And I remembered my mother when she had her cataracts done, and she just raved about the colors. Mm. And that's exactly what I found. They did one eye first and the other, and when I could see all these colors that I didn't realize I wasn't seeing, mm-hmm. because it faded so gradually. So I love to see the colors.
Yeah, that's good. Gladys down here?
Yeah.
I had cataract surgery maybe 8 years ago, I don't know, but we decided after my surgery that we would go away so that I would behave, you know. So we went to a motel. Next morning I got awake and I said to John, I said, is this the extra light here or something? I said, and he said, why? Well, I said, I have so many more wrinkles than I had before. I discovered that other people had more wrinkles too than I noticed.
My sermon focus isn't we want to see better so that we can see the imperfections in other people better. We're not going there.
I wore glasses for many years, from about third or fourth grade on. And then I think while I was in high school, my eyes had sort of improved to the point that it was very little difference. So I did away with the glasses for quite a few years. And then I was noticing, I kept in contact with my eye doctor and just got checked up might have been 5, 6, 7 years later, I could tell my vision was slowly slipping back. And so I went and had my eyes checked, and he was there flipping things as they do. And so he had things really clear, and I could see clearly. And then he flipped a couple of buttons. He said, what do you see now? I said, nothing. He said, well, that's what you're walking around with. He said, what we had just before that was what it would be if it was corrected. So it was kind of a rude awakening that I needed to get back to the glasses. And also noticed after I was wearing glasses again, I was driving truck at the time, and I would get really tired while I was driving. And the first week that I had glasses and was driving again with glasses on, I noticed I didn't get nearly as tired. My eyes weren't straining all the time to see.
Dramatic vision restored. Most of us spiritually probably walking around thinking we're in good shape, not realizing how much more we could see of God's truth. So we want to look at the scripture today. It was just full of somehow a lack of vision, a lack of clarity. But the people in Laodicea, in Revelation 3, they had a vision problem. Like when they looked at themselves, they said, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing. Just really satisfied with life. Their vision's good of who they are. When Jesus looked at them, he said, but you don't realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Kind of giving a spiritual diagnosis of them. You know, if you look with kingdom glasses, you can see there's a real lack of understanding and vision in this church. And so he offers to give them some things, gold, to give them true riches, the riches refined by fire, the riches of God, white clothing to wear, righteousness to cover up their nakedness, and But then he says, I also offer you salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. And that's what I want our prayer to be today. And literally anoint, you know, Spirit of God, anoint my eyes so that I can see. To see who you are truly and to see your ways. And again, the scripture passage, lots of blinders and blurred vision, and we'll look at that. But at one point, the blind man comes to this place of saying, Lord, I want to see. May that be our prayer too this morning. So just a couple things to note in this scripture. There's three different settings, and in all of them, we can see somehow there's a lack of understanding. First of all, for the disciples, Jesus, again, this is the third time in Luke that he teaches this or proclaims this. The Son of Man is going to go to Jerusalem, be turned over to the Gentiles. He's going to be mocked and spit on and humiliated and then flogged and put to death. But on the third day, he's going to rise again. And then Luke just really lays it on as far as their lack of understanding. In three different ways, he writes that they didn't get it. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them. They did not know what he was talking about. Can imagine the disciples reading that later and like, okay, all right, we didn't get it. Just really clearly not understanding the path that Jesus was on. And then they're entering Jericho, and this blind man hears that Jesus is coming, Jesus of Nazareth. And so he cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those leading the way, so disciples, maybe town leaders, and able-bodied, quote, normal people, are trying to quiet him down and not bother Jesus. Because in their vision, those of lower social status should just be quiet and not disrupt Jesus. That somehow they don't have the value necessary for Jesus to engage him. Blindness to who Jesus was and the mercy of Jesus that this man was crying out for. And then we get to the Zacchaeus story, and the people can't see Zacchaeus in any way except that he's a sinner, he's a traitor, and he's personally injured them financially through the taxes he was collecting. Couldn't see anything else of worth in Zacchaeus except those things, which were pretty powerful. I'm sure we'd be complaining in some ways about Zacchaeus as well. And Zacchaeus apparently can't see the wrong in his actions of the way he's collecting these taxes. But you do get a hint here. It makes you wonder, what was the Spirit of God at work in Zacchaeus' heart already being uncomfortable with his practices that drew him to meet Jesus that day? But we'll get into that a little bit in a little bit. But just to think for ourselves, what clouds our vision? What keeps us from seeing the things of God, the guidance, the way of Christ that is set out before us? And I just want to suggest a couple things. One is holding on to truth as we want it to be, you know. And we can do all kinds of twisting of rationale so that our understanding fits what we want to be. There's lots of people, I'm sure, involved in difficult or shady financial dealings, or in the midst of a marital affair or some kind of moral indiscretion, that somehow are trying to twist things around to justify what they're doing. And those are kind of big examples, but how do we do that maybe to kind of fit the truth into what we really want to be true? Or we don't reflect on a truth because we know it's going to give us a new understanding, and we don't want to go there. You know, I remember I got a bike in 10th grade, I think it was, and I rode that until about 10 years ago, and this thing was really heavy. And I remember thinking, I never want to ride another bike that's a lot lighter, because I know then I'm going to realize how much more I'm lugging around and wish I had a different bike. You know, I don't want to know that truth. So I'm not even going to go near that, you know. So we stay away from truth that we know is going to convict us. Or it could be entrenched understandings that maybe our society or our family or our church has been carrying for years, that's just so solidified that we don't even think about it anymore. Or even like a personal prejudice or a sinful stronghold in our own lives that is just so deeply rooted that we don't allow truth to speak to that. We don't even consider, like our eyesight maybe, we don't even consider that there could be something different. Another is complacency. Like the church in Laodicea, they felt like everything was okay. Life is good. I almost think about like the rich man and Lazarus last week. The rich man, everything was great as far as he could tell. He was celebrating his life, really complacent in that. No urgency to repent. No need to take any kind of moral inventory of his life. You know, he was complacent with where things were. Or the other thing I'd like to suggest is just if we've fallen into hopelessness or despair, where there's no hope, there's no seeking for any kind of direction or wisdom that might lead us in a different direction because we don't think it's even possible. So, the challenge this morning is to have that open heart, to be able to let truth speak to us. And I'd like to do that through the end of Psalm 139. This is often a Lenten passage. In the devotional I'm doing, I think it's almost an every morning reading at the beginning of the devotional. We recited it during Ash Wednesday. But listen for how this allows us to, it shows an open heart to let truth speak. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. Or know, help me to know those disquieting things, those things that are like a disturbance of my spirit that need to be addressed. See if there's any offensive way in me. God, how am I offending you? How am I offensive to other people? Show me that. And then lead me in your everlasting ways. Give me that vision in that direction. So it's saying, God, I want you to see it, or I trust that you are seeing these things, and I'd like you to let me in on it, you know. Help me to see what's going on in my heart. We could be open also to a trusted counselor, a friend who might share some things with us out of love that can open us up to ponder and to think about new ways and repentant ways. So an example of this, I think, is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus approaches Jesus like a child. I never thought about this before, but one of the commentators talked about how the way Zacchaeus is described, this small man who climbs a tree to see Jesus. Just sounds like what a child would do. A smaller person, in that energy or enthusiasm to see Jesus climbs a tree. I never thought about this, but I wonder if Jesus is trying to display that kind of an openness to new understandings rather than kind of the other image would be standing back with your arms crossed or Zacchaeus back at his tax collecting booth with his arms crossed, not needing to hear anything. So this openness, this receptivity, this enthusiasm that Zacchaeus seemed to demonstrate as this is described. And then you can tell there's this readiness within him because after he has this encounter and time with Jesus, he has a readiness to change, to repent. He's seeing things differently now in Jesus and he's changing his life. And so immediately he stands up and he says, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody, I will pay back four times that amount. You know, generosity and justice flowing out of Zacchaeus because he's seeing things differently, because Jesus has opened the eyes of his heart to see a new way. And so Jesus says, salvation has come to this man. He's been restored to God. He's been restored to God's community. So as we think about these things today, as we go from here, I encourage you to have that same kind of attitude of the heart that we see in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, know my heart. Reveal to me, help me to realize what's unsettling so that I might find peace with you. See if there's anything offensive in me. How I'm offensive before you or before other people. And now lead me in your ancient paths, the righteous way that you've set out. And then secondly, there's people out there like Zacchaeus who aren't yet following Jesus. But somehow their heart stirring. They know there's something more. How might we come alongside them instead of saying, I can't eat with you. Invite them into our life so that they might see the light of Christ and be able to see even more clearly right alongside of us. So may God open our eyes. May we call out too, like, I want to see. Put God, Jesus, put your the salve on my eyes that will allow me to see you more clearly. Amen.